Akeme will be reading our scripture passage for us this morning.
Our scripture passage for this morning is from the prophet Isaiah. Listen for God's holy word. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of the God, of the Lord, abides forever. Amen.
This morning is the first Sunday in Advent, and traditionally the theme of this Sunday is hope. Hope is the expectation that something is on its way. Hope is the expectation that something good will come, something better, something that we want. Hope is looking forward, but it looks forward in a yearning and in an expectant way. There is a way to look ahead to the future and to do so without hope. We can look ahead to the future, and instead of feeling hope, we can feel dread. We can dread what is coming. We can look ahead with anxiety, with pessimism, with fear. We can look ahead into the future and assume that rather than getting better, things will get worse. We can look into the future with worry and with doubt. There is a lot in our lives, in our world, in our current national and global situation that gives us worry and dread and fear when it comes to the future that is waiting for us. The politics in our country, the way that our nation is and has been divided, it does not provide us with much hope. There are few that are hopeful that our government officials and the people of our country will be able to join and work together in ways that are good and productive, not only for us, the people of our country, but the people for all of our world. When we think about what is to come, what will happen after the next round of elections, it is hard to look ahead with hope, but rather easier to look ahead with dread and fear and anxiety. The divisions that exist in our national politics, they're reflected too in our own Reformed Church denomination. The same cultural divides that are dividing our national politics are also dividing the people of our Reformed Church in America, a denomination which has churches all across this diverse country. When it comes to looking ahead, looking into the future of our denomination right now, there is a feeling of worry among many. The actual future of our denomination itself is in question. This summer, the summer of 2020, a proposal is supposed to be brought forward to help bring about major changes to the denomination. It is hard to know what those changes will be or when or how they will actually unfold. But it is safe to say that few people, when they look ahead to the future of our denomination, are doing so feeling excited or cheery or hopeful about the prospects of that future. And when it comes to feeling dread and worry about the future, we have to talk about global climate change. We have brought about significant damaging changes to our global climate, and the last few years of extreme weather are clear indications that something is wrong. We are experiencing more frequent and intense storms and floods and droughts and fires. In the midst of all of this change, the very future of our entire planetary ecosystem is in question. When we look ahead to the future, what kind of view do we take? When we think about what is coming for us and for our world, are we able to experience the warmth and the light of that feeling, that experience called hope? The prophet Isaiah had some of the same stomach-churning doubts and fears and worries when he too looked ahead at the future before him. He lived in a time of upheaval, a time when the future of God's people was in question. He lived in a time when there was great division, and the prospects of destruction and turmoil and war were on the threshold of the present. In the midst of his dread about the future, though, somehow, some way, the prophet Isaiah was able to see and deliver a vision and a message that was bursting forth with the warmth and the light of an amazing hope. Isaiah, in hope, in our scripture passage for today, predicts a time when division will come to an end, a time when wars and conflicts will be concluded. Isaiah, in hope, looks ahead to a time when all the peoples of the earth, with God's help as their arbitrator, the peoples of our world will set aside their differences and their conflicts and their divisions, and they will look together, they will stream together to God's presence to learn God's will and to walk and to live together in God's ways. Isaiah looks ahead to a time when the weapons of war, the implements of destruction and bloodshed and conflict, will be refashioned, recycled into tools for farming, implements for cultivation, and the instruments that bring about not death, but life and growth. Rather than cutting through flesh and bone, the former swords of war will be refashioned to gather in grain used for baking loaves of bread. And rather than piercing and drawing blood, the spears of war will be used to collect bunches of grapes, to be pressed into wine, wine that can be shared at banquets, wine that will be used to gladden the human heart. Isaiah looked ahead to the future, our future, God's future, and Isaiah has hope. Does he have hope born out of some personal strength or some personal devotion to looking on the brighter side of things and feeling positive thoughts? Perhaps. But I believe that it is more likely the case that Isaiah has hope because God has kept the smoldering ember of hope alive in Isaiah's heart. God, by God's Spirit, has put the hot coal of hope inside of Isaiah, and God, by God's Spirit, has kept that ember glowing so that it can be for Isaiah a source of warmth and light in the midst of the swirl of cold and darkness, the swirls of fear and worry and dread that press in all around. Have any of you ever heard of the mummy, M-U-M-M-Y, that was discovered in the Alps that was nicknamed Ötzi? Do any of you know about this mummy? Eric knows about it. Yeah. Some of you, maybe. Not many. Okay. Ötzi was found trapped in a coffin of ice and snow on the side of a mountain in the Italian Alps back in 1999. His body had been naturally mummified by the ice and the dry, arid conditions on the side of this mountain. He was discovered by hikers, and he and all of his belongings were brought down the mountain and studied by scientists who came to the conclusion that he had died over 5,000 years ago. He is a Copper Age man who was miraculously preserved in ice and snow with many of the things that he had with him when he had been hiking that mountain 5,000 years ago. His clothing, his weapons, all kinds of belongings that were, when discovered, unique to science, never before seen or studied. One of the things that Ötzi was carrying with him while he scaled that frozen mountain ridge was a small birch bark container. It was sewn together along its edges. And what seems apparent is that before departing on his hike up the mountain, what would be his last hike up the mountain, Ötzi had carefully taken a few burning embers from a fire or a hearth, and he had wrapped those embers carefully in some fresh maple leaves. And then he had taken that warm bundle and he had stuffed it into his birch bark pouch. As he climbed that mountain, plodding along in leather shoes stuffed with grass for warmth, Ötzi carried with him the faintest embers of a fire, so that when the time came, he could set down his backpack, he could put down his bow and his quiver of arrows, and he could coax a fire from those tiny glowing embers. Ötzi carried with him the faintest glimmers of fire, so that when the time came, he could revive that fire to cook a meal and to give him warmth and light in the swirling cold and darkness that was all around him on that wintry mountainside. This image of three or four tiny embers carefully wrapped in leaves and tucked in a pouch, this for us is a good metaphor for how we sometimes, perhaps most of the time, experience hope. There are perhaps times for us when hope burns bright like a great bonfire, but more often it is the case that in the darkness and the troubles of our world and of our times, our Christian hope is like a faint, smoldering ember. Hope in the midst of the swirling worries and doubts, hope in the cold and darkness of fear and dread, hope is like a few small coals wrapped in leaves and tucked in a pouch. They are the faintest glimmer of something more. They are the tiny source from which, when the time is right, we are able to coax some warmth and some light. This week, as we begin a journey towards Bethlehem, it is there, in that manger, that the embers of our hope began to glow with the softest of lights and with a faint but a growing warmth. There in a manger, God's Son, Jesus Christ, is born. And with him, our hope for a future of light and warmth and God's goodness. As we journey together towards this hearth, we do so in order that we can pluck from it an ember or two to carry with us near our hearts. As we journey through this dark and cold world towards God's future. Amen.